I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the pumping on the right shares my beliefs. I think the pumping on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. If you are hearing the sound of my voice, I have lived to fight another day. this show is all about looking at a lot of the same news that you'll hear covered on other shows. But it's through a different lens. Now, admittedly, it's a libertarian lens. I think it's a humanitarian lens, which is not a bad thing. I think we've been conditioned to believe that, you know, wanting to be a good humanitarian to people around the world of all, you know, different cultures and races, that's somehow like leftist hippie stuff. I think it's our calling to be good people. And I know most people actually believe that because I see good people, people of all backgrounds being great to one another in times of need. American people are fantastic to each other when we're just, you know, you see somebody getting robbed. People step in all the time. You see a car overturned on the highway. People will stop their car on the highway and run over to try to help. I mean, we're all humanitarians, and we let the government and the parasite class suppress that in us, make us feel that maybe that's some kind of weakness. I don't think it is. I do care what happens to other people, even halfway around the world when I see unnecessary suffering. I think it's a bad thing. That's just me. And here in the United States, I just wish we did not accept the reality we have now just because it's been going on for so long. I don't know how many shows I've done about taxes. We didn't used to have an income tax. I don't know if anybody even knows that. We don't have to have an income tax now. We've just accepted it. And it's just one of these things. We've allowed this motto of there's only two things certain, death and taxes. No, death, yes. Taxes, no. Anyway, just because things have gone on the way they've gone on for so long. But, you know, a lot of the news stories I don't talk about because it's already said, look, illegal immigration, the way it's happening right now, is bad and out of control. Do you want to hear me talk about that for the rest of the hour or the other 23 hours a day you have to listen to other conservative talk show hosts tell you the same thing I'm going to tell you? I'm with them on that. Maybe sometimes I'm accused of, oh, I don't care about that issue. You know, there are open borders libertarians. I ain't one of those. I am not one of those. But I've also spent time on this air going through how you can stop the curse of illegal immigration is by turning off the beacon. I told you, the Democrats and the Republicans tag team illegal immigration. I'm going to say it again because I think this is a great concept. I like this. I came up with it. It's like a tube of toothpaste. The tube side is on the Mexican side, and it's pointing towards the border of the United States. The Democrats are actively trying to get the toothpaste to come out. They are wide open, and they're hoping that all the toothpaste comes out of the tubes. The Republicans are the ones squeezing the tube on the other side through things like the drug war and sanctions and bombing countries around the world that send people fleeing for their lives, not just here, but in Europe. So they're tag-teaming to create this problem in the first place. But if you were to turn off the light of the welfare system here, people wouldn't just come to camp out. They would be productive citizens here. They might take some jobs, but you know what they might take? They might take jobs for less pay, which makes things cheaper for us. I mean, there are some benefits to people coming here to work. Not $10 million a year, admittedly. But you know, so I agree with we've got a huge problem on the southern border, and it should be stopped, and the border should be closed. I am absolutely down with that. But I've got nothing to really add to that, except that you know, you can fix it pretty easily if you had a Congress that actually cared and weren't just trying to pander to two sides. The Democrats bending over themselves to make it sound like they're welcoming and loving, and the Democrats trying to seem really hardcore, we're going to build a wall. But they don't ever tell you they would dismantle the welfare system, do they? No, absolutely not. There's voters out there on welfare. I don't even know why the Republicans are still refusing to tackle our massive welfare system. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, welfare, EBT. I mean, the list goes on and on. Anyway, I talk about things that I want to bring a different take on them too. So here's one to start with, and I'll be kind of interesting to hear how this goes over. Although I really won't get the feedback. I don't get to do a call-in show, and much as I love you, you and I aren't sitting together to discuss this, but I thought this was kind of interesting. This is a public service announcement from he is, I think he's the police chief of Miami Beach Police Department. They put out a public service announcement last week that I thought was, I thought it was interesting. We'll talk about it at the end of it. Listen to it, see what you think.
My name is Officer Guzman from the Miami Beach Police Department Community Affairs Unit. The department has been made aware of that this Thursday, March 21st, students will be participating here at South Point Park in the beach, reference senior skip day. We would like to remind students that skipping during school hours is considered truancy. Students could be detained and taken back to school that day, even though parents allow them to miss school. Miami Beach police officers and park rangers will be actively patrolling our public areas such as parks and beaches and enforcing any city ordinances or state laws. Nuisance actions such as fighting, smoking tobacco, smoking illegal substances, or drinking in public, subjects can be detained and possibly arrested. For more information, please look at our website.
So there it is. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So what this police chief in Miami is saying, and I'm sure they've had problems. Kids misbehave. They definitely do. And I've seen some videos to Miami where they go buck wild. But the content of what he says. So you've endured through 12 years. He's talking about senior skip day. A singular day where seniors don't go to school. So you've endured through 12 years of a failing public education system. And you, with your parents' permission, decide you can have one fun day off from the indoctrination camp. But this police chief and the police department and the sheriff's department and the park rangers want you to know that this is a law enforcement action. Now, we talked about fighting and drinking and doing drugs out in public. Don't get me started on the drug war, but, you know, they're kids. Kids should not be taking any drugs. Destroys your brain long term. Terrible idea. But they want you to know that senior skip day is a cause for a law enforcement action. It's not about what you and your parents making a decision about what you do with your time on a single day after 12 years of being in the indoctrination camps of education system here in the United States. You can't have one day. They, as he said, they will detain you and possibly take you back. They will enforce the law that states you cannot miss a single day of public school indoctrination during your 12 years, or they will detain you, meaning kidnap you, and they will return you to the indoctrination camp. Did you hear him say that? If we find you. Now, truancy, I believe, is a certain number of days per month that you can miss, or per semester, something like that. Not being in school one day, as this police officer is telling you, is not a crime. And so I just find that very interesting, because I try to bring to the show how Mike Madison hears things that everybody else hears is kind of normal. You know, the cops, they have some problems with teenagers, so they're cracking down. Yeah, I can kind of understand that. No, what that police officer is saying is, even with your parents' permission, you cannot miss a day of school. They will take you back to the school. If you were seen out there, but trust me, and I don't know how this went down. This is a week ago, and I don't know when senior skip day was in Miami. But what he was saying was, can you just imagine? I mean, I don't know about you. I did senior skip day. I don't know about you, but about 75, 80, 90% of my senior class did senior skip day. And I would imagine you would too. Can you imagine if you had just been out somewhere at a park throwing the disc, playing a little hacky sack back in the day? and a cop comes up, handcuffs you, and takes you back to school for enjoying your one day? Because what he's saying is, it's truancy. It's a law, and they will enforce it. And this is why I have this problem with police. You understand, the mayor, I guess, told him, hey, you guys get out there and enforce that. And he went, okay. I mean, he didn't stop and say, mayor, come on now. You know, if the kids are doing something wrong, if they're stealing stuff, if they're breaking stuff, if they're fighting, we'll go after them. But can't we let these kids, after 12 years in an indoctrination camp, can't we let them have one day of fun in the sun if they're not doing anything wrong? No. Absolutely not. But their parents said it was okay. I don't care. Those kids are our property. They're wards of the state. We're going to take them back to that camp. And I just find that very, very interesting. And it's something that I think it's the over-criminalization of everything. It's the idea that laws are there to enforce. And if they're there, and there's even the possibility that you may act up. Now, again, I'll take this as far as you want me to take it. This is akin to red flag laws, right? We can't let a bunch of kids do senior skip day and congregate on the beach because somebody might do something wrong. They might start doing something bad. They might have some drugs. Someone might take a drink. I don't know about you, but my senior skip day, there was some alcohol, and we weren't 18 years old at the time. Beer drinking was 18 in Mississippi. Oh, I just kind of told my age, didn't I? So I'm just saying, we have allowed the police and law enforcement and the parasite class to pass all these rules and regulations, and essentially what we've become is we live our lives with the permission of the state. You're not living in a free country if you need a permit to fish, a permit to hunt, a permit to open a business, a permit to open a bank account, a permit for this, a permit for that, a permit for remodeling the deck on the back of your house. That's not a free country. And I guess you can't even get a permit for senior skip day. It's just a no-go. It's a crime. Something bad might happen, so we need to make sure we're going to punish every single student who's put in 12 years in these oftentimes horrific schools. We're not going to let them have a single day of fun because something may or may not sometime possibly go wrong, instead of just enforcing the laws where there are actually victims. As I say, this show's about thinking about things slightly differently. If you start to look at it through this lens, it'll start to kind of needle at you. The idea that you need permission to sell something to your neighbor. You need permission to open a business. You need permission in some places to have a garden. You need permission some places to get rainwater. You need permission to drive a car. You need permission. I mean, the list is endless. You do not live in a free society if all of your things are just privileges that the state deems to grant you or refuse you. That's not a free society. That's a slave state. I'll be right back. I need a remedy. But what does that mean, you see? I need a remedy. But what is hell and I'm mean? I need a remedy. Yeah, but what's hell and me? So one of the things that came out this past week is that the Republican House, the Republican-led, the conservative House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., led by the stalwart conservative, fine Christian man, Mike Johnson, passed a monstrous spending bill, violated the 72-hour requirement that everybody be able to read this 1,012 pages, something like that. It must have been more than that because I figured out it was over $1 billion a page. $1 billion spent per page in that thing. And someone else I heard break it down. It was $5 million per word. Think about your family. Mom, dad, few kids, grandparents, cousins. Your extended family, let's take it out to like 20 people. How impactful would it be for your family if you just had an extra $1 million just to share among everybody, just make their lives a tad bit more comfortable? $5 million per word in that spending bill is what the conservatives stalwart. I mean, thank God everybody busted their hump to make sure that the Republicans took control of the House in the midterm, because if they hadn't, ooh, there might have been some bad spending in the House. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think before she left, she might have voted to vacate the chair, more chaos there. You know, I'm all for the chaos. When there's no speaker, I guess they really can't do anything. Is that the case? Now, I've heard that I'm keeping up with this stuff actually through WYAB and the other shows that have covered this. Republicans are disappearing from the majority anyway. But what difference at this point does it make, to quote the great Hillary Clinton? What difference at this point does it make who controls the House? We're bankrupt. We're bust. We're belly up. And I'm probably jumping the gun here just a little bit because, of course, I like to hammer it home. And I still got a couple of weeks. You getting ready for tax deadline? That day when your loving government says, pay up or we will ruin you financially, kidnap you, put you into a cage, and if you dare to resist us, we will kill you. I'm waiting for anybody to explain to me how this is different than a mafia shakedown. Well, the difference is that we pretend it's all legal. It just gets this stamp of legitimacy. But that's exactly how the mafia operates. You got a nice business here. Sure would be a shame if anything happened to it. You're going to kick back 30% of your revenue to us. And the shop owners say, I will not. And they say, next thing you know, their building's burned down or they're dead. That's illegal, but for some reason, the exact same activity by our federal government is somehow law. So what do you think the money that they steal from you is going to? I hear someone in the back saying roads. That's so cute. No, your gas taxes pay for that, silly. Anyone else? Schools. No. That's property taxes, and you can see how those are being spent anyway. How about the military? Well, that's a pretty good one. You do get the joy of paying for Ukraine and Israel's border protection. And you have the satisfaction of knowing your money was spent to lose wars for the past 50 years. So if that makes you feel better, I will say some of your tax money does go to the military. But I thought this was a pretty stunning statistic. Check this out. For February, the U.S. government collected $120 billion from individual income taxes. Okay? Does everybody understand that? You know, money comes from all over the place. Federal government, they're always grabbing stuff. You know, you always hear about these multi-billion-dollar fines. Pfizer pays $18 billion in fines in the last 5 years. Where the hell is that money? Did they actually even pay it? I'm suspicious. Maybe they pay the fines and the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Congress goes, don't worry, we're going to put Ozempic on Medicare. You're going to get that back tenfold. But the federal government collected $120 billion from individual income taxes. They had to spend $76 billion in February to pay anyone, interest on the debt. So they turned a bunch of Americans, tens of millions of Americans, upside down and shook all the change out of their pockets at a time when most people are suffering from record high prices, lack of home affordability, all the struggles that people are going through financially. But the government came for theirs, and they spent $76 out of $120 billion just on interest on what the late, great Thad Cochran spent as appropriations chairman. What Trent Lott spent. What Benny Thompson is currently spending. What Roger Wicker's been spending. What Cindy Hyde Smith's been spending, what, name them, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the Harry Reid. I'm trying to think of some of the oldies but goodies that started us on this debt train. So because they couldn't control themselves, very soon it will be 100% of individual income taxes are going to be required just to pay the interest on the debt. So you're not paying for roads or schools, and in that scenario, you ain't even kicking in for the military, as bad as that is. You were just paying interest. I mean, can you even imagine? Can you even imagine asking, a neighbor? You know, and hey, I have racked up a ton of debt. Would you mind paying all the interest for me? Because I cannot afford this. That neighbor you've known for 30 years that you love and you spend every holiday together and you cook out on July 4th and you just become best friends after living with them for 30 years right next to each other, they would look at you like you have lost your ever-loving mind. They would say, No. You spent the money. You deal with the interest. But here in the United States, it's us that pay for it. Now, this was Representative Anna Paulina Luna. I'm not really familiar with her. I got to assume from what you're about to hear from her, she must be a Republican, because I can't imagine a Democrat ever saying a thing about the spending. They just pretend like it doesn't happen. Because they know that their harebrained schemes would send the spending even further afield, even though, from all accounts, what Mike Johnson just passed in the House of Representatives has just got a ton of Chucky Schumer's pork all through it. But, you know, always understand the game. You know, you can look at it and you can pick apart these things that go to certain things and you go, that's disgusting. Well, the only reason it happens is because the people that you think would stand up against that stuff are also getting something. This is why I tell you military spending, if we spend $800 billion on the military in the long time, you know, for much of that time, it's been conservatives really cheering for the big military budgets. And then you get them, and then like Donald Trump comes out and he says, I increased the military budget this year by $80 billion in conservative cheer. I don't know why you're so happy about spending all that money on our military in the first place. Eisenhower warned you about it, what, 65 years ago now, just about. But people cheer for that, not ever thinking, okay, so Donald Trump increased the military budget by $80 billion. The Democrats weren't just going to do that for nothing. Now, today's warmongering Democrats probably, but you understand, when those things, when conservatives get a win and they get more money funded, you know, if you get a wall, if you were ever get, let's say, $20 billion for the wall, the only way you're getting that is if you give the Democrats $40 billion for social justice causes. So the wall is not just costing you $20 billion, it's really causing you $60 billion plus a bunch of horrific programs that were the negotiation. So this is Representative Anna Paulina Luna, just a quick clip from her, and I just wanted to mention something.
All right, guys, at 3:13 last night, we got this monster of a bill, which, to be clear, is a omnibus, meaning that everything in there is full of pork spending, i.e. frivolous spending that we can literally not afford. I mean, as a new mom, let me just put it in perspective. My son's grandchildren will be paying the monstrosity of whatever this is back because Congress doesn't want to balance the budget.
Now, I'm going to say this. She looks young. I would say she's maybe, you know, mid-30s, very young, attractive lady. It's not going to be her grandchildren that are paying for that. I mean, our economy will collapse. We're already paying for it through this inflation tax we've all been suffering under for the last 2 years. And it's about to get worse. I saw a chart the other day of inflation in the 1970s and inflation this go around. Oh, those charts look really similar. And if you weren't around in the 70s or don't, you're not an economics nerd like me, what happened was in the early 1970s, they started to see some inflation. So they, you know, did a little bit of fighting of inflation. It started to come down. So they let their guard down and they cut rates and all that stuff like the Fed's planning on doing now. And that's when you got the late 70s, early 80s inflation. It spiked up in the early 70s, then came down a little bit, and they thought they had it beat, and then all of a sudden, boom, 20% interest rates to get a mortgage. And the path of this inflation is exactly, I mean, it just lines up. They lay over the top of one another. So inflation's not over. So it's not just our grandkids that will be paying this money back. I think that's an oversimplification of it. And I've probably been guilty of saying that because I just think of it as we're destroying the country that our parents gave us, that our grandparents gave us. We're destroying it for our children. And that's what breaks my heart. I think it's inexcusable for a bunch of adults to pat Roger Wicker on the back at a Rotary Club meeting while he destroys the country financially or plays his part in it. It's just... It's icky to me, if you want to know the truth. I find it pathetic. It's like Stockholm syndrome. These politicians who are actively destroying the future of your own offspring that you love more than life itself, and you pat them on the back and take a selfie with them. That's some serious conditioning, I got to tell you. But what I would say to her is, number one, long before her grandchildren, my grandchildren, I don't have any grandchildren, someday I might. long before any of our grandchildren really pay the price for this or pay it back. It's insurmountable. They'll never actually pay it back. We'll all pay for it through financial collapse. That's why I'm reading a book right now on the early 1990s in when the Soviet Union fell apart. I want to see who made money. Maybe I'll be an oligarch on the other side of this thing. I'm not politically connected enough to, you know, get some industry at dirt cheap. But we're going to pay for it, and we're already paying for it. The inflation is the cost of these budgets. So it's not just waiting for our grandkids. We're paying for it right now with a reduced standard of living, with this runaway inflation. The other thing that I want to point out on this, like I say, I only bring you stories when I've got something kind of different to say about them. There's a lot of talk about all the pork, and that is aggravating. Listener Jason sent me a great clip from Rand Paul. Thank you, Jason. I don't know if I replied to you, but it's Rand Paul breaking down, you know, that they're spending money for giving Japanese quail cocaine to see if it makes them more promiscuous. It's like $100,000. Oh, nothing, right? How would your family like an extra $100,000 right now? Be kind of nice, wouldn't it? And there was other things. I think they're sturgeon or I don't know. It was just all obscene stuff, but it was in the billions of dollars, billions. This is in budgets that are in the trillions. And what conservative media does great, and I'm right there with them. I love them. They're exactly right to point out this pork because that does make people mad. But what they don't ever really point out is like the military spending. Even the things that you think are great. See, we've had, you know, six and then seven, now $800 billion military budgets now for so long. It's always increasing. We've been conditioned to believe that, you know, our soldiers aren't getting rich. Hell, when they get out of the service, half of them are living on the streets. It's not benefiting them. It's all going to, you know, that corporate titan Boeing. And they ain't spending all that money on safety checks, apparently. They're not doing quality control with all that money sloshing their way. This is going to military-industrial complex oligarchs and executives. That's where this money is going. It's not going to troops. It's not going to guard our borders. It's not going to make us safe. So quit cheering for these $800 billion. But the conservatives don't really talk about that. They nibble around the edges. I've said this so many times. You can't. The time of nibbling around the edges and cutting out, you know, $30 billion in ridiculous pork barrel spending. You know, if they pass a bill tomorrow and they go, look what we did. No earmarks whatsoever. The last bill we passed had $30 billion worth of earmarks in it. This one has zero. It doesn't get any credibility with me. So you didn't have to borrow $1.2 trillion. You only had to borrow $1.7. What would it be? $30 billion. Don't make me do my public school math. You know what I mean? They're still going to spend basically $1.2 trillion minus $30 billion. It's nothing. It'd be $1.197 billion. And so they talk all this time about these earmarks. And again, it's good to get outraged about it, but it's the big things that are really wrecking this country. Military budget's a big one. Welfare budget, the entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid. They're about to put Ozempic on Medicare. I've warned you about this. It's about to happen. They're already talking about it. They have already made it available to certain people. Now, you know, I've done a lot on Ozempic, my fatwa against these fat drugs. They've made it available to certain people with certain risk events. They're going to let it for everybody. There's 65 million people on Medicare right now. They're about to make Ozempic, which costs $1,000 a month for the rest of your life. They're about to put that on Medicare. Nobody's going to stop them. It's a big pharma payoff. Big pharma gives politicians millions. The politicians give the pharmaceutical company trillions. That's how that works. That's the game. And it's trillions of your money. That's the beautiful thing. I mean, you know, really think about that. What a great job. You give me $1 million and I get to keep the $1 million, and I'll give you $100 billion of someone else's money. And that's a pretty good game. Maybe I should run for office. That sounds like a whole hootin' bunch of fun, doesn't it? So this is where we are. This is with a Republican-led Congress. I'll just say it one more time. A couple other things. We'll get into some of the meat of this bill, too. And I'm going to make one pretty wildly unpopular observation. I'll do that when we come back. Stick around. I can't help myself. I'm sorry. Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band waves hail to the chief, ooh, they point the cannon at you. No, it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no Senator Sonsa. It ain't me. It ain't me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm just going to go ahead and go straight into this because I don't... There's no point in putting it off and fluffing you with a couple other little things. I was going to read some details out of the bill. It's really kind of meaningless. You know, it's the system that's broken. It's not every bill. That's part of our problem, too. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, one of the things is that so many people are kind of single-issue voters. And so they'll vote on one thing, and they just let everything else slide. And I kind of understand that. It's overwhelming how many things the government does that are absolutely terrible. It's like you got to draw your line in the sand somewhere, but you got to let a ton of stuff slide because you have to be on one of two sides. You know what I mean? If there were 30 sides, then everybody could kind of find their little niche, and there'd just be a bunch of people bickering in Washington, D.C. between 30 different groups. They'd never get anything done. It'd be the best thing to ever happen to this country. But who is the Republican Party now? Well, we know what they used to be, right? The party used to be, the Republican Party used to be the Bushes and the Romneys and the McCains and the Trent Lotts, you know, kind of your establishment, very polished, very, very business-like thieves. But who's the Republican Party now? Where the Speaker of the House just passed this $1.2 trillion spending bill without letting people read it, full of all kinds of pork, full of money that we don't have, spent on stuff we don't need. Who is the Republican Party that passed that now? It's the MAGA Party. I'm sorry. I told you it wouldn't be popular, but I think it's true. Isn't the MAGA takeover of the Republican Party just going great? Has anything really changed? Except that it's gotten worse. Now, what I would suspect is I'm not insulting everybody who's MAGA. I get it. We share a lot of the same beliefs. But what you're doing is you're allowing a bunch of politicians to just slap that label on themselves, and you're voting them into office. And that includes the leader of MAGA. You can't get away with saying anymore, well, it was the rhinos that passed this big spending bill. Now, there were some very good Republicans that voted against this thing. No doubt about it. But there aren't enough rhinos left in the House of Representatives. This has been a MAGA takeover, essentially, of the Republican Party. Even ones that are probably, you know, secretly. Again, I have objections with this rhino because I think the typical Republican is what the rhino is. So that makes them the Republicans, and it makes the troublemakers, the freedom fighters, are actually the Republicans in name only because they're not acting like the establishment Republican Party anyway. Confusing, I know. But it was in 2020, it was Donald Trump who wanted more spending in 2020. Printing up that $7 trillion was not enough for Donald Trump. For a non-existent pandemic that posed no threat to about 95% of the population, maybe that's an exaggeration, maybe 80% of the population were really not even in any danger from COVID whatsoever. But they shut down the entire government, printed up $7 trillion. Trump wanted more spending in 2020. He wanted bigger stimmy checks. It was the Trump MAGA administration that actually paid people $300 extra per week to stay on unemployment. Do you remember this? And it went on for a period of time. I don't even think that happened at all under the Biden administration, not giving Biden credit for it, but it went on for a long time. Not just unemployment, $300 extra per week. People were making more on unemployment during the COVID lockdowns that were unnecessary than they were when they were working full time. And then we were all shocked that we had a kind of a labor situation coming out of that. Gee, who could have guessed? It was the Donald Trump administration that was paying hospitals $39,000 per COVID patient. Isn't that correct? It was the Donald Trump MAGA administration that paid hundreds of billions of dollars to Big Pharma for the clot shots. And I'll say it again, it was the Trump administration, but it was also the Obama administration, the Bush administration, that just ballooned military budgets. Hell, it was the MAGA administration, the last one we had, that actually gave the U.S. Department of Education the largest budget increase ever. Every 4 years that Donald Trump was in office, he signed staggering, debt-riddled spending bills. The very first year he said, oh, I don't really want to sign this thing. You guys don't be giving me another bill like this. And then the second time they did it, he went, oh, okay, I'll sign it. When I come back, a couple of statistics here, what this is like for the American people. And then MAGA did do a protest. They are finally taking to the streets. What was their target? I'll tell you when we come back. All right. Hello? Is anybody still there? Here's a statistic. This is sad. All of that printing from the last MAGA administration, all the printing of the new MAGA Republican Party in Congress right now, this was just a graphic that went out there. It was on the news somewhere. In Tampa, St. Petersburg area, you know, this is not your hoity-toity New York City or Los Angeles, Beverly Hills. The single adult, the salary needed to live comfortably in Tampa, St. Petersburg, for a single adult to live comfortably now, $94,432. The national average is $93,933. That's one person to live comfortably. Two working adults and two children. What does it take in the United States with this inflation tax that we've been suffering because of the new MAGA party that's no different on spending than the rhinos that people refer to were? Matter of fact, they're worse. The current amount needed to live comfortably for two working adults and two children, $209,498. That's what it takes to get comfortable. Not rich, comfortable. Well, with all this, with the trend heading this way, it's only a matter of time until people took to the streets to protest. So I'm going to play you a little clip. MAGA went out and protested. What are they protesting? Against the Federal Reserve, who created this monstrosity over 100 years ago, facilitated all this spending, has sold us off as cattle, as debt slaves. Are they protesting the corrupt middle class? Are they protesting the hospitals who killed people during COVID or the military-industrial oligarchs who steal your money so they can profit off death? Have they finally taken to the streets to protest the ATF, who's just writing rules that make you criminals, most recently a brace that they've just decided is a no-no tool now? Did MAGA take to the streets in force, show their power to the government because we have this IRS that threatens you if you don't hand over a third of your incomes? Are they out protesting the food companies that are feeding you addictive poisons, or Big Pharma that hooks you on endless drugs and feeds your kids dangerous ADD and antidepressant medications? Maybe they're out there really finally taking on the NSA that has stolen all of your privacy, or the medical establishment that had your loved ones die alone in the hospital and stripped years of life from your children. Is that what the MAGA crowd took off for? Finally, they've taken to the streets for this.
Protesting this woman here.
Yeah.
We got a head of hers, like she had a head of Trump.
You tell me why we're here. Because we're Americans and she's not. Watch your back, be careful.
It's all compatriots, we're protesting Kathy Griffin at the Paramount Theater tonight, over here in Huntington, Long Island.
I'm sorry. I almost find it comical. There are, what, 1,000 targets of legitimate protest out there. Now, I'm no Kathy Griffith fan. Is it Griffith or Griffin? I forget. I always get those names. If I ever meet you and your last name is Griffith or Griffin, I'm going to struggle with that for the rest of my life. I don't know. I have a blind spot for that. It's like color blindness. I have Griffith blindness. No, but Kathy Griffith. Now, she's the one who did the decapitated Trump head. Wasn't funny. Just stupid. She's not funny. And yes, her plastic surgery has gone horribly, horribly wrong. I mean, she was never just a beauty or anything, but, you know, she had a unique look. She was kind of like a cute little redhead. Now, she's just ladies. Some of the procedures are just not there yet. You know what I mean? 20 years, they may have it nailed. You can all look, I don't know who the objective standard is these days, but everybody will be beautiful in 50 years maybe. But they're not zeroing in on some of the things. The lips are tough. The lips and the eyes are, the eyebrows are, they're tough to do right now. Kathy Griffith she's a cautionary tale. And she's also annoying, and she said things that are dumb and all this stuff. Out of all the things that really mobilized people to get off their duffs, get into their cars, this protest was pretty big. It was just, it looked like just city blocks of cars loaded with Trump stuff and flags, and they're patriots. They're protesting, of all things, Kathy Griffith. If she had done that show, she would have entertained some lefties in the crowd, and they would have gone out, no change. She wasn't going to convert anybody. She wasn't going to attract and steal away. You know what I mean? She's just nothing. She's nothing. She's annoying. You've got about 1,000 problems in this country that really demand action by the American people. Kathy Griffith doesn't make that list. She doesn't make the top 1,000 things. You got a Federal Reserve office up there. Everybody knows where it is, but nobody seems to know where it is when it comes to protesting and actually making any difference. Please, people. I thought you were serious people. I'm not saying that. That's denigrating and rude. I know there's a lot of people out there that understand what the real problems are. But getting caught up in this wave, it was too much for me. Protesting Kathy Griffith. That should do it. Brighter days ahead, any minute now. That's all the time I got. I'll have to talk to you next week. See you then. Bye-bye. Here comes the boys from the south. Here comes the